Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. The right mindset is what separates most successful people from the average person. Changing your mindset can be one of the most valuable skills you can learn to help you create your own kick-ass life. Well, we want to help you begin that process today and give you a free copy of David Wood's training, Mindset, Your Key to Success. In this downloadable training, you'll learn how to develop a winner's mindset, how to overcome limiting and negative beliefs, how to love the word no, and much, much more. To download your free training, simply go to thekickasslife.com/free. That's thekickasslife.com/F-as-in-Frank-R-E-E.
Hi, this is Marcy Shymoff, and you're listening to David Wood on the fabulous Kick-Ass Life Show.
Make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
So good morning, good morning. It's Thursday and I'm riding solo. No, I love it. And you know, it's really interesting because I don't sort of I don't plan a whole lot. I don't sort of sit around. It may seem like it sometimes because I have music and quotes and all this kind of good stuff. But I really don't. I get inspired by what's happening, and then, you know, it becomes a sort of the foundation of the ramble, as so many of you like to call it. It's so funny. One of my friends was saying, you know, who was it was saying that? It was one of my students. I was talking to him yesterday, and she is an absolutely passionate about the show. She called me from Australia. She's coming down to Belize to the retreat. And that's awesome when someone travels 44 hours to come to a retreat. And my last event on the island, we had four people fly from Australia. So Barb, I know you're there, and Barb was paying a beautiful compliment about the show. And she says she takes the train every day. And there was a lady that she bumped into yesterday that normally drives her car. And so she said, as they were chatting, she told her what she does on the train. And so she introduced her to the show. And so she listened to the show and she said, oh, that's why I didn't drive today. And again, excuse my paraphrasing. I only heard the story once because I really needed to listen to the show today. I'm not sure which show she listened to. But it was interesting is Barb was telling me that she listens, you know, to the show every week. And that now on her train, there's a sort of a group of people who listen with her. So all of you lovely people on that train with Barb in Australia, I'm sending this show. This is dedicated to you and every commuter who puts a little headset on and spends a little time in the morning filling themselves with some of my amazing guests and some of these wisdoms. So dedicated to you. And as I say, she was saying, you know, and even when you ramble... So I'm going to ramble on today, but I'm going to start, you know, because I'm moving house. I wanted to start with a quote. It says, I have just three things to teach: simplicity, patience, compassion. These three are your greatest treasures. That's Lao Tzu. And but I have three things to teach: simplicity, patience, compassion. Now, we always talk about compassion because, I, you know, one of my favorite sayings, tell the truth all the time with compassion. So I'm not going there today, but the simplicity piece is something that I really, where I want to go. And the reason for that is because I'm moving, and I was thinking back over 10 and a half years living out of a backpack. But you know what? For my commuter friends, they're in Australia with their little headsets on. I want you to smile at each other and wave at each other. Everyone you know is listening to this show as I play you your first song this morning. Here we go.
Wake up in the morning to these fields of gold and take a long. Yeah.
Hey, you commuters. Those stars are still in the city. You just can't see them. But anyway, yeah, this simple life. You know, when I look at 10 and a half years of traveling around the world in my backpack, and it's really funny when I started out because my buddy from Melbourne, another Aussie, Paul Orchid. Oh, that I did that pretty fast. But Paul Orchid, he used to laugh and joke so much about this traveler he met. I met Paul. Where did I meet him? I met him in Egypt, and this guy's like, you know, the real deal. One of my funny stories is, you know, I'm this is a year or so later. I'm walking through the Sinai Desert, hiking up into these mountains, and there's Rejane, this wonderful cultured French lady from Paris who was just amazing, and Paul, and they're just ahead of me talking, and I hear Paul like, "Hey." Yeah, and he says, you ever been over to Australia, right? And he's like the real guy, right? And she says, Paul, you know, she says, I don't think I like to have time in Australia because, you know, he says, what I like about France is culture. And he says, well, we've got culture. And he proceeds to put his finger on the line. On one of his nostrils and clean his nose. And he didn't realize. I mean, for me standing back, I fell on the ground. I'm laying there in the Sinai Desert, absolutely rolling around, laughing. We've got culture. He drops the F-bomb, cleans his nose. All right. And so, talking about Paul, you know, he's sort of an experienced traveler and he bumps into me. And I'd bought this kind of, remember, I wasn't really planning on going away anywhere and traveling around the world. It wasn't my big plan. I mean, I really didn't, and I didn't have a clue about the world anyway. So I'd bought this backpack really cheap, but I thought it was really cool because it had a little seat on it. So you could sort of, and it was kind of really thin framed. And so when you sort of, when you stopped, you could pull down this little seat and sit on it. I mean, but the seat, you know, by the time you pulled it down, it's about like 4.5 inches off the ground. I mean, I never ever sat on this thing. And besides, the backpack wasn't sturdy enough for me to sit on, but I had a really, really cool seat on my backpack. And I remember I had this leather jacket, which was kind of like a dress jacket. I'd bought it a number of months before I left, not thinking I was ever going to leave and travel, right? And it was like something you'd wear, you know, as over a nice shirt and a pair of slacks and sort of like, it was completely impractical. It wasn't warm, you know, it didn't have like, you know, I couldn't zip it up or anything like that. And it certainly wasn't anything. It was just, it looked all right, you know? And so yeah, I have this leather jacket. And what Paul would laugh about is everything that I had was wrong. I had nothing, you know, like there were these travelers with, you know, Birkenstock sandals and Gore-Tex jackets. Well, that's a bit of a paradox. Maybe people with Birkenstocks didn't have Gore-Tex, but they all had the practical things that worked, you know, big sun hats and sunblock and, you know, sunglasses and warm clothes and layers and all this kind of crap. And I had nothing like that. I had everything that was wrong. And we remember we got trapped in a rainstorm and we're standing there and he has his big, like, you know, waterproof jacket on and a hood. And there's me standing there in my leather jacket and jeans, completely soaked, nowhere to go, right? My backpack, in the end, when we traveled through Egypt, I came into Israel, and we'd gone through the Sinai, and we had some fun times there. We almost got thrown out of the Sinai. We show up at the Sinai Desert, and I think we were in Dahab, Shamashek. No, I think it was Dahab. And what happens when you go to these places, you know, and back then it was like these little, there was a main tent, and this is years ago, right? So this would have been, now I'm thinking 84, yeah, probably 84, 83, 83 or 84. And you had to report to a local police officer, and he would stamp your passport. And then you could sort of get a little hut or a tent. It was like really, really primitive, but the diving there was unbelievable. And so we walked in there and we walk into this hut, but there's no, or this tent, and there's no one there except this very, very simple guard. And so we walk in there and we thought, you know, we're a little cocky, a little young, a little stupid. And we think, well, you know, so we're asking him, he doesn't speak any English. We don't speak very much Arabic. And we're asking him if it's okay for us to stamp our own passport. So we proceed to grab the stamp and stamp our own passport. And oh my goodness me, we were called into the office later on. We were almost arrested. This guy, he screamed, he yelled, he walked over the poor bugger. I remember the guy's name because it was such a whack. His name was Yunus, this guy. And he whacks him around the head and proceeds to berate him and us. And he says, you know, and he restamps and redoes our passport. So I had two Egyptian or two Sinai stamps in that passport, which was kind of cool. But anyway, he ended up not arresting us and not throwing us, although he threatened to do everything. And so we got it. And that later that night, we're having a few beers and we bump into this soldier, the guy that got whacked. And we buy him a beer, and we're sitting around this tent, and because he doesn't still speak any English. And I remember Paul, the more beers he drank, the more times he said, "Oh, Yunus, whack!" And he kept reenacting the whack around the head. But anyway, so that was kind of the sort of the traveling side of my life. But I remember that backpack, the good parts of it, was all I had in the world was in that bag. And again, I never went back, right? So it wasn't like I went home. I did have stuff at home. But I never went back to it. I remember years and years and years later going back and realizing I had money in my bank account. And there was quite a lot of it. I was like, what? I didn't know that. Anyway, so that whole idea of simplifying our life and now going through this process of moving and realizing how much crap, you know, you kind of end up with, even if you're not a sort of a crap collector. And, you know, and I have a farm here, 12 acres. I have a wood shop. You know, I have barns and all this kind of stuff. So I just sold everything to the one guy who's buying the house. I mean, really cheaply. I just gave him a great deal. I have a tracker out there, you know, tractors, all this kind of stuff, right? And but it really made me realize that I'm going through the basement and going through boxes. And there's stuff in there that just, I mean, you know, I filled up, like, you know, three or four garbage bins right now of stuff, which, yeah, you could hang on to. But it's almost like a cleansing thing. And what's interesting is that another friend of mine, a number of years ago, when the fires happened here in Kelowna, there were, I think, 420 houses were burned down, like really expensive houses too, right down the lake. And there was the famous fire, I think it was 2000. And, you know, his house was one that was burned down. And I remember saying to him, you know, how do you know, right? I said, listen, buddy, you're probably one day you're going to look around and think this is a great thing. And lo and behold, I saw him, you know, a number of years later, and we're talking about it. And he says, it was so great. Everything went, you know, and there's a few things that you wish you had. And today, because people have clouds, I mean, even photographs, you know, you lose a house today. And that's the thing most people say. But the truth is that he said, it's incredible. It was like a clean start, starting over. And then I know Jen's mom, Barb, I know you listen to the show. So Barb, hello, how are you? You know, she's talking about moving, but the idea of, you know, living in the same house for, you know, I don't know how long she's been there, but it's been a long time, 10, 15, 20 years or whatever it is. And the idea of going through everything and getting rid of it and starting over is so challenging to get your head wrapped around, right? So anyway, I'm really at this point where I have that feeling again, that simplicity feeling again, which I had back then, which was, you know, of just letting go of everything to step into something greater. Orson Martin, he said the waste of life occasioned by trying to do too many things at once is appalling, he says. But, and then Bruce Lee says this, he says, it's not a daily increase, but a daily decrease. He says, hack away at the inessentials. So say that again to you. He says, it's not a daily increase, but a daily decrease. He says, hack away at the inessentials. That's Bruce Lee, right? So anyway, I think it's time for a quick song. And then I want to talk a little bit about how does simplicity roll out in our financial life? Because it's one of the big things I teach is simplifying, right? And we'll talk about that right after a little song by Mr. Elton John, all about the simple life.
And the timeless flights are gone. I'm a year ahead of myself these days, and I'm locomotive strong.
it like cannon fire. And again, another day, I can cut the ties and bind me to horoscopes and fate. And I won't break, and I won't bend, for someday soon we'll sail away to innocence.
I remember seeing Elton John live. Yeah, it was really interesting because typically when I go to a concert, even if I don't have front row tickets, I end up at the front somehow. Just because I like to see really close up. I mean, I don't spend the whole time there, but I'll end up there at some point. I do my special magic trick where I walk through security guards without them asking for tickets. And I'll typically, with Elton John, it was interesting because he finished the show and I got to the front just to watch his last show or his last couple of songs. And then he disappeared backstage, and there's an encore, and he comes back out in a pair of sweats. And I swear, if you would have thought he was one of the guys in the audience. It was just so, didn't look like him. It just looked so casual, you know, and he played these last two songs. It was just awesome. It was just great. But going back into the simple life then, you know, this idea that we work so hard to get stuff. And I do have stuff. I mean, you know, we own a few properties that we enjoy and stuff like that. But I understand that. But the simple life, though, well, what makes us truly happy? And as I'm sort of letting go of a lot of things and clutter and really making a decision of and again, we're not, I don't like clutter, but I mean, it's clutter in the basement. It's clutter in places that people don't see. Oh, yeah, a box of this, throw it in there. A box of that, put it in there, right? And so, but the thing with financial simplicity, which I love, is this idea then that so many people, if they were to just simplify their life as they start to make money or as they start to sort of try and live up to the Joneses, as it were, and you start to buy that bigger car. I mean, I think I did a show where I met a kid who had a $1,200 car payment. I mean, hello, that is just insane. Absolute insanity. Go buy an old truck. I remember my first car cost me $138, I think it was. But guess what? It got me from A to B, and it didn't cost me anything except a fortune in gas because it was quite big. But the idea, though, is that you can, buy to create wealth, it's the same process of simplifying our life. You know, I have a lot of people who I help, you know, grow incomes. And as they grow their incomes, you know, a lot of them, they fall into the trap of the bigger house, the bigger car, you know, more stuff. And I've certainly been there myself. But a key, though, is imagine having less stuff, a smaller, you know, car that you can afford. And that's why my partner, Mike, has done such a great job in creating total financial freedom in 9 years. You know, they arrived here with a Subaru. Everything they owned was on this Subaru. They bought a business, and sight unseen, he bought this business. And he thought it was a mistake. The guy was sick, and so he had managed to buy this business. He sold his X-ray machine for the same cost he bought the business for, and then proceeds to build one of the strongest and biggest clinics here in Kelowna, Okanagan Health and Performance. Just an incredible, incredible facility. But, you know, but it's that dedication to simplicity that I think is really the key to both their lives. But they still travel. I mean, I was climbing Kilimanjaro with Mike, and then he came home and he was working, and he shoots off for 3 weeks on the island in Belize with his family and his kids and his wife, and they come back, and, you know, you could see that love affair when someone gets time to be together. But, you know, it takes a simple life to be able to just get up and go, right? And then I look at their situation right now where they sold their house, and primarily because they were offered a house to house sit in for 3 years. These guys are moving to the Bahrain or somewhere. He's a pilot. And so they're living in this gorgeous, gorgeous home for 3 years. And every summer, these people come back for a couple of months. So Mike and Donna moved down to our place on the lake. But a simple life, you know, it's simple because they have this freedom to be able to say yes to things, freedom to be able to travel, freedom to be able to go and do the things they want, freedom to not have too much junk, sort of weighing them down, Barb. Sorry, Barb. Did I say Barb? Not Barb in Australia. I'm talking about Barb Newman, the one who's thinking about moving but can't think past emptying all the garages, right? But I know exactly what you're talking about, because as I look into my own garage and I think, oh my goodness, I got to go out there again and do this, right? And I get all that. And I think back to 10 and a half years with nothing, where I was really just had what's in my, and the freedom to say yes. I think that's really what came up for me. The freedom with simplicity to say yes, okay? Charles Warner says this. He says, simplicity is making the journey of life with just baggage enough. Charles Warner. Simplicity is making the journey of life with just baggage enough. And there's so much to be said for that. Where do you, and that's why, I mean, again, when I started the show, I really didn't think about this idea that simplicity and the ability to say yes, how closely connected those two things are. You know, with simplicity, I can say yes. With simplicity, I can create a fortune. You know, as I spend less and invest more, you know, I create my residual and passive income streams. But when typically what ends up happening is, and, you know, they say that the statistically, it's like 70% of people are 1 month away from bankruptcy. Because what happens is they have to rely on the job to come in. You know, they live month to month. Well, what would happen? What would happen if you simplified your life? Starting now, what would happen if you look to your life and say, okay, well, how could I make it simpler? What things could I do immediately? For example, if you have a large car payment, why not get out of it and go and buy a simple car that you can afford to pay for, or save up over a few months and buy something so there's no payment? Now, what can you do with that extra $400, $500, $600, $700? And the truth is, most, I know in North America, it's so everyone has a car, not everyone, but most people have a car payment. That's the other thing about Mike and Donna, you know, they drive, I mean, he bought an old truck. I mean, it looks great, and we go hunting in it, and you know, but it's a great truck. But he's had it for years. I've had my car for almost 7 years now. I don't even think about selling it. Why would I sell it? It's paid for. I mean, you know, it's great. It does the job, you know. And it's just one of those things where we can all look at our lives and say, well, how do I simplify it so that I can say yes to more things? How do I simplify it so that I can create the sort of the life of my dreams? How can I simplify it so I don't feel, I feel this freedom of movement, freedom to say yes? And that's the thing, even owning a pet sometimes, you know, I see people, friends of mine who have like lots and lots of animals. It makes it very, very hard for them. Unless you can share an animal, you have someone that you can say, hey, listen, you know what? And I know this sounds weird to say to share an animal, but if you have friends where you can mutually look after each other's pets, to say yes, where it's not something where it becomes a burden, because that you then you can't do things because there's so many animals in the house. And I love animals, don't get me wrong, but it's very hard to say yes if you have a lot of things to look after. And if your heart's calling to go do something, again, just be careful of how we clutter our life up and the things that we end up putting inside of it. Because in the end, I promise you, it will be more and more challenging to say yes to stuff. And it's going to be like Barb and I were chatting about, Barb Newman, you know, this idea. And again, I get it right now, of really, you know, wanting that freedom. But the supreme effort of 20 years of stuff or 25 years of stuff, you know, it's like, oh, when do I find the time for that? Because I'm busy, right? But I urge you, get some help. I know my sister started a company, and she does this. She lives in England, and she does a lot of work in Germany, and she does it in England as well. And she goes in and she helps declutter people's lives. And when she talks about it, it's almost like it's not just the clutter in their lives. And you see these before and after photographs of people's offices or people's, you know, homes. And she said she'll fly anywhere in the world to come in and help someone just get the clutter gone, so that they can step into something greater. And when you walk in, you know, when you see these before and after photographs of her site, you know, it's like, whoa. Like, really? Really? You know, and then having somebody else who steps in, who you can trust, who, you know, you don't feel judged by, who can really come in and really see it and get a sense of what you want and a sense of what, you know, what you want to achieve. And seeing that with companies, I know she helped a company in Munich, a friend of mine, actually, Gabby. And Gabby had a company where they rent bicycles in Munich. And I know we have people in Germany, and, you know, a single mom who's raising a family and running a very strong business. What they were able to do together was to really simplify things to the point where Gabby was able to open up a new satellite office, a dream that she'd had for a long time. But it was in the simplicity that she was able to expand. It was in the simplicity of making everything else simple, you know, her home life, her offices, everything streamlined. Suddenly there was all this space, and in the space is the creativity, right? And that's what we, I remember I used to teach a camp called Wizard Camp, you know, and we'd ask people to look outside into the vistas, and it's the space between the leaves that makes the beauty. Imagine there was no space between the leaves. It's the space between the words that makes up the song, right? Imagine there was no space. It would just be a big noise, you know. So space is this, and that's what you pay for. I mean, like this 12 acres here, I have a lot of space. The new house has this expansive view. It looks like I live on 1,000,000 acres, you know, looking up the lake with mountains, and it's gorgeous. But that space is what's expensive in our life, you know, to buy space, you know. But quite often we forget how to create that space within us, and how do we create that space around us so that within the space, the magic happens. You know, and so if you look outside today, or you're on the train right now, my group in Australia, if you look outside, look at the space between the things and really look at that space. The space between the clouds make the beauty in the sky, right? The space between the stars is what's made. I mean, imagine there was just a gazillion stars with no space. It would just be a big bright sky, right? But it's that space is so beautiful. Yeah, what's interesting is in the space, we're all connected. You know, that ethereal space, you know, I mean, and I know we used to teach this philosophy that imagine there's this big cosmic soup, and in the cosmic soup exists everything, and you're part of the soup, you know, because when you look down where your feet are touching on that train, and you look across to the friend off over the, or, you know, one of the other commuters, you know, somehow your feet touch the ground touches the feet of the other person, it comes up. So in some way, we're all connected. And I like to think of that more on a deeper level, but I know it sounds a little woo-woo on a Thursday show, but we do have this possibility to be connected through this space. And imagine that everything you want is in the space. Everything you want is in this cosmic soup. And all you got to do is reach in and get it. If you're clear on what you want, you already have it. You just got to reach into it. And this is something when people ask me those questions about life. And I say, well, how does your life look like? You know, why do you get so? And I always think, because I already feel like I've got it. Everything I want is right there. I just have to become aware of it and then make it mine by focus and commitment and stepping in. But having this space, this simplicity around me and not being overcluttered. And I think that the space away from our electronics, I realize that. I even watched Jen and I, you know, the thing goes off and it feels like we're beholden to get back to someone in 34 seconds. Whereas in the old days, you know, you'd leave a message on your phone. In the old days, when I was a kid, right? You'd leave a message and you say, listen, guys, you know, I'll get back to you within the week, or I'll get back to you by the next day. And here we are right now. There is no space. There's no space to sit and to meditate or sit and look at beauty. And that's what we did last night. We just sat and we chatted and we looked at the sunset, and we spent a few hours just hanging out in a very simple way with space all around us. And in this space was the beauty, right? So this whole idea of a simple life, of creating simplicity, it almost sounds like it's time for a song, don't you think?
Phone is dead. I tried to email my brother, but the Wi-Fi's down. The stuff is haunting me all year round. I'm fixing one thing and another one's coming loose. It's making me think how much this makes. Ooh. I keep on buying new things that I can't really use. If it gets you annoyed, then what is the point? Don't need no TV, I don't need no phone. Get me home. Don't need no nothing. All I need is time for that simple life. I'm taking one step forward and three steps back. I kick myself for letting go all the things I had. I guess you don't know what you got till that junk goes bad. I never should have dumped that hand-me-down I got from Dad. I solve one problem and another one's popping up, and
maybe what we're thinking about is not what I want. It's what do I want to get rid of? Do I get rid of it all? Hey, by the way, I loved it yesterday. I my my gardener, Jeremiah Johnson. No teeth, bald head, and the happiest guy you'll ever meet. I walked out there yesterday with a ski jacket that I haven't worn in a long time. I said, hey, try this on. And he's like, I see this big smile, toothless smile. Oh, yeah, baby. Anyway, that's about it. You know, the simple life. And, you know, I urge you, what can you get rid of? What can you clean out? You know, there's a lot of people who need help. There's a lot of people who need those coats that are collecting dust. There's, you know, imagine if it's all gone, if there's nothing. There's nothing there. If you haven't used it for a couple of years, what would happen if you just chuck it out or give it away or do something with it and then create this space around you? And in that space, create the life you want. In the simplicity, create the life you want. Leo Tolstoy, he says, there is no greatness where there is not simplicity, goodness, and truth. Almost where we started, right? There is no greatness where there is not simplicity, goodness, and truth, which is around the compassion thing again, right? So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm done. That's it. I will see you definitely on the other side. And thank you so much. Hey, you know what? I was going to read one of the testimonials, or what do you call it? The reviews. And I just think it's so awesome. And I thought I'd do one review a day, not a day, on Thursdays, and just sort of like a review of the week. I know it's right at the end here, but I forgot. Phyllis JP, she says, I love your interviews. She says, I love getting motivated and inspiration from your interviewees. I was listening to Anna Neff on my run this morning when she talked about living authentically and some signs that one is not. It really resonated with me. Then when you played Fleetwood Mac at the end singing about Go Your Own Way, I started crying. Do you know how hard it is to run and cry at the same time? Big smile. Anyway, thanks for doing what you do and shining your light so the rest of us can shine ours. So Phyllis, JP, you are now the review of the day or the week. And by the way, if you've left a review a long time ago, I notice as people listen longer to the show, some of their comments have changed. Don't be afraid to go back and leave another one. If more stuff's coming up and you have more wisdom to share or something's really shifted in your life, and you know, shift does happen. So ladies and gentlemen, I will see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.